Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, it's Thursday. It's Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. What is up? We are AfterBuzz TV. If it's Thursday and you're seeing the four of our faces, you must have watched two more hours somehow of Married at First Sight. My name is Mike Thielen. You can see I'm coming to you guys live right in front of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, because only spells and unicorn blood and a polyjuice potion could be keeping some of these couples together till this day, because it's mystical why they're still together. Guys, we put the sorting hats on. My teammate in House Married is below me, Takira.
Hello, 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 everyone. I'm kind of like to your left, I think, or something like that. But
hi, and guys. Whenever you're on my team. And then the evil House Slytherin. It starts with an S. House Slytherin, House Single, to my lower course, Lanisha.
I don't know nothing about all of that, but single and the greatest team there's ever been. You already know what it is.
And then rounding us out is Ken. What up, man?
Yes, I also do not accept those words in that intro. However, Team Single is here, quarantine and chilling, single style. What's up, y'all?
Okay, singling, just single, in house.
Just haunted today. That's what I did today. Guys, welcome. We're so glad you joined us. I love talking to you guys. A whole team here loves talking to you guys every week. We hope you guys are doing good. We hope for the next 50 minutes crap going on, we're just going to have a good time. So we're going to go through all of our couples as we do, each one by one. We're going to give our overall ratings. Maybe some of them didn't get zeros this week. Who knows? And then we're going to give predictions, because next. So, guys, let's start it out. We're going to get it juiced up right here. Normally, we go from least interesting to most interesting. And Jessica and Austin are always least interesting. But I kind of don't think they are. I think they're actually now the most interesting, because I think they're the only ones, save them for the very end, and give the people who are actually, you know, got something going on some time. Let's kick it off with Katie and Derek. So super quick, this is the end, of course, of the big couples retreat this episode. They have one last date thing or whatever. For some reason, Katie jumps out of the car and saves a turtle. I'm going to say she was about to kill a turtle because it was in its natural habitat, and for some reason they put it in a box. Thankfully, they set the turtle free later. They went to that vineyard. They had the cool love lock thing with the keys and throwing them in the lake. That seemed really fun. And then, of course, like all of our couples this episode, they all get back together with their family members and have one final conversation with the family members before their final night before decision day. So they talk to their families, and we just get the rehash, as we have the entire time with this couple, of Katie kind of being upset at him because he's, you know, he's kind of, let's call it, young at heart, and he's adventurous and he has goals and things, and she just wants this like kind of box. I realize I just jumped right into it. So Ken, give me what you think about Katie and Derek, and then sorry, real quick, overall, what you thought of last night's episode.
All right. So what I will say about Katie and Derek is Katie is continuing to push Derek away, and she's very selfish when it comes to her behavior. It's all about her and her feelings, and she keeps throwing that in his face. And Derek is not as she may want to be, as mature. Like, she kept saying, I want somebody that's 30, and I want this, and I want that. And he's coming off very spoiled, bratish, and even when she was talking to her parents, like, you can kind of see that they were just like, okay, well, this is, they can tell that some of the, her ways have gone into her dating life and now with her husband, and they were aware of that. And I'm glad that they held her father, held her accountable, you know, just asked those questions about the relationship. So I would just say that with Katie and Derek, it's not looking too good for them. And I don't even know how confident I feel in their just relationship, even if they do say I do now, how I feel about them. So that's pretty much on them.
Give me real quick, give me overall thoughts, because we skipped that today.
Okay, yes, an overall thought, as I'm glad this couple's retreat is over, it is done with, and that we are near decision day. And I think that a lot of these skeletons of things that they needed to discuss came out in the open, probably because we're nearing D-Day. So yeah, that's the overall thought. It's, couples retreat is done.
Like it. Lanisha, give your overall thoughts real quick.
Yeah, overall thoughts. I'm actually glad that our perfect couple showed a little bit of imperfection. And man, I just wish that some of these singles would just call it quits, because some of them are just too good for the other. And that's like my overall thoughts for a majority of the couples.
TK, we missed you live last week. Of course, you were in the chitty chat. tell us your overall thoughts of last night.
Yeah, overall, I'm still getting those feelings about Austin. I know we'll talk about it, but overall, it's honestly, it was all to be expected, except for a little bit more of Jessica and Austin.
So let me keep you going right there, because my overall thoughts just of the episode is, you know, as we talked over and over again, we're kind of done with these couples. A lot of people, you know, we read all your comments. A lot of you guys are really done with these couples just in general. For me, it's been the same thing over and over and over again. I think most of these couples could have made their decision at the 1 month reconfirmation or whatever they call it, recommitment, right? Because the problems and the challenges and stuff like that that they're going through, it's not change. It's the same thing over and over and over again. So let me throw it right back to TK, who on my screen again is down there. Let me throw it right back to you, because I wanted to touch on the point for Katie and Derek when they went to the lake. And you know, Derek is constantly reassuring Katie that everything is fine. To me, Katie is making up things and reasons to be upset. And then when they're going to, you know, bless the lock and toss the key, Derek is saying, let's toast to always being a team together. And all this stuff that's like, yeah, like we're in it. And she, the one who has the problems for seemingly no reason, who's so mature and she wants a mature guy, she won't even say that they're going to be a team.
Yeah, I 100% think that it's because she had, I mean, episode 2, we said, okay, they're really quick. Like, let's remind ourselves, they were really quick to turn on the passion.
Yeah.
And so that's always red flags, that the passion will die out if you don't practice the things that it takes to be married. And so I 100%, she's resentful. It's almost like she's still tied to the ex. Like, that's the root cause of all of this.
Yeah.
Every single thing that Derek does, she is comparing it to another man. And you can't do that in your relationship. It's building resentment in her heart. And so it's completely blocking every amazing attempt. And so I feel like she's, and even bringing up things like, oh, I told the experts I wanted a 30-year-old. What makes you think that you deserve a 30-year-old, because you act just as childlike? It blows my mind. But even talking to her, someone in the chat said, even talking to her dad, she couldn't say one good thing about this man. Yeah. And that's the problem.
I'm way over 30 and I act like I'm 16 or something. Lanisha, this to me, when they were at the lake, right? When they were at the lake, it just sprung into my head. Is she trying to drop hints? Is she about to like try to start laying the foundation of why she's going to say no on decision day? Like, is this the foretelling of her being out?
For me, when they was at the lake, that was a foreshadowing of how much she wants a baby, because y'all know how much she wants them kids. But
with him, if she can't even say let's be on a team, how are they gonna make a kid?
I don't even honestly know. I think, and it's so sad because there's really women like out there like this. I think Katie is so used to the bad boys and used to having a guy that treats her wrong that she's just so against having this good man. And it's not, he's not boring at all. Like, he's adventurous. You see, he has all these dreams and everything. He's just really good to her. And I think that's something that I don't know if she's used to, but clearly she wants all the bad boys. And I agree with you, TK. I was like saying, preach, girl, over here. When you talked about her ex, I think that she's making all these excuses so that she could go back to the ex. And Ken, you hit it on the nail too when you talked about her dad. I am so glad that her daddy knows her well enough to be like, yes, my daughter is crazy.
Yeah.
She does not know a good man when he's right there in her face. He's so good. And she's so disrespectful. And she didn't even tell her dad everything that good. She didn't tell him everything good that Derek has done for her.
Right.
She only said, oh, well, he only does this. Are we watching the same show? Like, did we skip a chapter?
Well, normally we say that actions speak louder than words. It seems like we've got Katie and Jessica who are both about the words. Like, if Derek just said, Katie, I love you, I'm in love with you. And if Austin said, Jessica, I'm in love with you, I love you, everything would be fine. But to TK's point, this ex came back into Katie's life right when she started the show. And he was like, actually, I love you. Well, that's it. That's just it.
I think this guy's doing,
right? The ex said it, said the L word, it's done.
One thing that I would love to bring up is that she is 100% playing games in the sense of she's still immature minded. And since that she's not necessarily, I don't think she's necessarily saying the words that she really feels. Mm-hmm. It's almost like she's playing these mind games, like things that you used to play in high school or college or whatever, where it's almost like, oh, let me do the opposite so that I can maybe get the reaction that I want. She's kind of somewhat, I feel like, saying these things right now because she wants him to turn into this bad guy, let me fight for her sort of thing. Like, it, but Derek is not the one, is not the type of guy that she's used to dating. And that's her problem. That's why she's still single. That's why she showed up for the show in the first place. Like, she's almost throwing these things out because she wants a reaction out of him. It just like when she was like, well, my red flag is that it's a lack of communication or a lack of connection, a lack of initiative. And his was, well, my red flag is just you being confrontational and a little difficult to deal with when you're upset. And she's like, well, sometimes you just need to just put me in my place. No, you are a grown woman. Like, I get that you're, it's almost like those people that love to argue, love to fight because it turns them on. I feel like she's saying all of these things. She knows deep down, like, she's probably not going to find someone because of the way that she acts. And you actually have a man that's willing to stay with you if you say yes at the end of this. She just wants a reaction out of him to turn herself on, which is,
I mean, it does. The stuff that she says and her actions don't gel. We saw in their very last night that kind of strain, like, what was your favorite part of this and blah, blah, blah. And we see the different things that Derek says because it's the stuff that he's done, made the picture thing and all the other kind of stuff. And when I was watching Ken, I was like, what did she do? They talked this whole episode about carrying the relationship just for all the couples. What did she do that's so, like, out there and mature and just so ready?
I don't think there was anything that I don't think that relationship was, if it was carried, it was carried an inch or something. Like, where did it go? I think with I'm just saying. When she said that, I was a little appalled when she said that because we're talking about Micah and Mika, right? Eminem?
No, we're still on Katie and Derek.
Sadly, there's a lot of comparison.
It doesn't matter. It still works.
I was holding that in to get on them. I thought, okay, so Katie and Derek, there's no, that is, there's
He's,
another one there.
Ken is so done with anywhere. Ken and Derek.
No, I'm down. I'm down. No, let me take it right off of Ken. No, no, no. Ken's got, I'm going to throw it right back to you because we'll just switch to Mika and Michael. There's no problem. We beat Katie and Derek to the dead
Let
horse
me here. Trying to go for it saying, Lanisha, you was wrong.
What? I'm going to throw it. What? I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Mika and Michael. Okay. Everyone says Mike cares for her and he shows nothing. And Mike leaves the couple's retreat without saying anything to anybody. So everybody says goodbye to Mika. And we find out that Austin is just like one of the girls. I related so hard to that. I feel like I'm Austin. I'm always, there's all this drama and stuff around other people around me. And I'm just like, there, like, I don't know. Okay, so they have the most awkward, weird hayride to go apple picking. Like, the producers need to stop forcing these people to hang out with each other when they obviously hate each other. They have a stupid picnic, right, where he just steals the food and is more exciting about his pudding cup than he's ever been about his wife. Amazing. They argue about who's carrying the marriage. They get home. They talk, sitting down on the couch or whatever. He's upset. You know what? I usually go through the entire episode. Let's stop right here because this is important. I'll throw it right back to Ken. He's really upset, or at least this is what he's chosen to be upset about, that she wasn't outwardly more upset at his relative passing away. His relative passing away is obviously very sad. Not trying to make fun or anything like that. And he said over and over again, you know, to Brandon that he found this out and he was crying and that she just kind of sat there. So I think it was, she could have been more openly affectionate or caring or something like that. But I also try to balance it out with, she just met this person. I'm a funeral. I perform funerals. I've seen a wide range of people react to people passing away, okay, as a celebrant. So you don't know how that person grieves. Michael doesn't seem to be the very touchy-feely person in general. So I don't really know how to react to that for him anyway. I just feel like he is blowing this particular thing that he's chosen to like stand his ground on out of proportion. What do you think, Ken?
I would say that under regular circumstances, you know, things might be different, but with Michael, he has this web of lies that he's just caught up in. So even back in the early part of production, she was saying like, hey, he's lying about this. So at that point, after everything that's been revealed and him just not telling the truth, I found myself a little bit hard to be empathetic for him. Mm. However, I did think about like why he was telling these lies, and just going back, it was good to hear the conversation with his sister and her talk about that, you know, he's been lying since he was younger, and just really get into the root of the problem. And I think before he decides to even jump in another relationship, he just needs to work on himself. Just because something that someone said was, you are enough. His sister said that. You just want you to know that you are enough.
Right.
And that was just a very important part of me, that episode with that story. I think they're just going to wash their hands and be done with the situation, but both kind of move forward in their own lives.
Yeah. Ladies, I want you to touch on it too, but let me round out the episode. I didn't understand this. He said that he's constantly compromising in their relationship. He feels like he's the only one compromising. I didn't understand what he was talking about at all. Obviously, like Ken said, he goes and talks to his sister, who's the hero of this episode, just like Ken said, because she basically told him, stop lying. Okay, just be yourself. Her mom, she went through it, not super happy. And then on their last night, we found out again, surprise, he quit his job without telling her. Not so much of a surprise, but yeah, it's kind of par for the course, of course. He's put in his 2 weeks. Why didn't he tell her? And then he does this weird kind of apology thing, which she smiles at. And I was like, yo, we're way past that. And then their last night, they rate themselves, and they're rating themselves way too high. Lanisha, crush Michael.
Okay, yeah. I do like Mika's grade. I do give her a B because she's made a lot of progressions. Michael don't know. He get a D. And I said this like a couple of episodes. He has a pattern. Anytime he's in the hot seat, there's always a sad story. And I understand. I am empathetic to, you know, the passing of a family member or something. But he always has this going for him whenever he gets caught up. Like, just say you have a problem. And don't say you've been carrying the relationship. No, you've been carrying it with lies. And it's just not working. This is my most disappointing couple ever. I'm so sad because they could have worked. They could have worked. But then Michael had to be a hot mess. And he continued with his lie.
You never know. And they have one last night apart to make some kind of decision.
Yeah, Mika did the opposite of what I would have did. I would have been like, boy, bye. Because he always says he's going to do, like, he has a way with his words, and he always says he's going to make it work. And he always says, like, I would love to progress in this way. But then we have moments like that apple picking where he just becomes a butt. Like, he's just such
intentional.
I would have just left. I would have just left, been like, you know what? You could go ahead and be quiet in this little town. I'm going to treat myself to another vacation. Give me a suite. And I guess what I'm saying no on D-Day. So you don't even have to guess what I'm saying. Bye.
Yeah. Okay. I want to, I have to toss it to the live chat on this one because I think we're all on one accord. Chanel W says, does anyone think he had a job in the first place? That was so amazing. Maria Babirie, maybe, sorry, but said, Mika is the new Mindy now, actually thinking that Michael is going to change and being all hopeful. I think this is so ridiculously on point, because as right as Mika is to be upset because he's lied from day one, we get it. I'm still sticking to my guns on what I said on our last show was, I did not want to take back any of the things that Mika said, simply because I was grading her, discussing her, we were giving our opinions on her based on her responses, not based on whether or not he's telling the truth. Could care less. But at this point, 100%, she's an A, B. I take her to a B only because a piece of me really, truly, deeply hopes with all sincerity that she says no at the end of this. And Maria in the live chat brings up a good point. Y'all, what if Mika says yes, that she's trying to see the good in him? I will be completely thrown off, because at this point, this man has lied so many times. He has his own issues to work out. He cannot be in a marriage until he's ready and until he's worked on himself. He's not at that point. He needs help.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly put. He needs to work on himself. What Mika said during the episode is right. He's not happy with himself. There's internal stuff going on. And that's cool. Lots of people have stuff. Lots of people have stuff they've got to work on. But we keep coming back for Michael to the fact that he lies, exaggerates the truth, omits stuff, whatever you want to call it. And just like we've been saying the entire time, here's one more thing. He put in his 2 weeks notice. This is not an epic thing to lie about or to not tell your wife about. This isn't even interesting. I would tell a stranger on the street that I just quit my job because they're treating me like crap. Who cares? This isn't epic, interesting stuff. And that's,
I mean, it's epic though. Let's be real.
Why?
They've had this conversation about finance from the get-go. I'm absolutely not justifying his lying, but this is epic. But this is Michael. He lies about what color his car is and whether or not he ate breakfast that morning.
So
he'll lie and say he did. I think I would be nervous too, because they've had this conversation about finances and he got caught in his lie last time.
Yeah.
And obviously finances and support and stability is important to Mika. So it's big, but
let me clarify. It's epic for them in their situation. In general life, for normal people, quitting a job is not epic. Doing, you know, guest teaching yoga instead of being a permanent instructor is not an epic thing to lie about. It's not like, oh yeah, I don't know, some, you know, you're making up some crazy stolen valor. I was a Marine and I did this and this and that to try to make yourself look better. It's just your job. Like, if you don't teach yoga, you don't teach yoga. It's not a big deal.
He knew Mika was going to come for that, but if he didn't have financial income.
But, sure, but again and again, this is the third or fourth job thing he's lied about. And all she said over and over again is, just be honest. The sister, be honest. Just say what it is. If you don't want to tell her, say, hey, I'm going through some job stuff right now. I got to deal with it myself. I don't feel comfortable talking to it with anybody because I'm a little bit embarrassed. Let her react and say, yo, you shouldn't be embarrassed. I'm the only one you should tell because I'm your wife. Or say, 100%. I understand and not, but hiding it, whatever. We know he's digging the hole deeper. If she says yes on decision day, we're in Hogwarts for real, okay?
Yeah.
She deserves what she gets, I guess, right? I mean, they all do.
Exactly.
That's right. True.
Because he's a liar. He's a liar. Capital L liar.
And I think he could be, I honestly think he could be a good guy, but he's got to get over the internal stuff. He can't be lying. He's got to figure that out on whatever he's dealing with. Because I feel like I see hints of good person. No, not at all. All right. Maybe that's, it's just funny. A name. I can't think any Michaels are bad. Moments. Michaels he are
has,
good.
He has his good moments.
Yeah.
But like with Mika, man, like he's not making that effort at all.
And might just not be ready to be married.
Call it quit. Huh?
Yeah.
The thought is there. The thought is there. So I'll say maybe that's the little glimmer of potential that our Mike is trying to give other Mike, Matt's Mike. The thought is there. And some men, some women can't even have the thought of what it takes to be married. So maybe that's the glimmer of hope. I'll give you like that much.
I say that much is better than zero, which is what Brandon is to me. Because again, we see the end of the Brandon Michael bromance at the couples retreat. At least Michael came back. At least Michael appeared again. Brandon just peaced out. He had his little schoolyard tiff with the producers, which is just dumb to start out with. And he doesn't even come back from his work or whatever that he supposedly had to do at the fair or whatever that nonsense was. And he texts her that message that seems like a final goodbye. Of course, it's not going to be the end for these two because they're just ridiculous, right? So she gets drinks with her friends, the same friends that we've seen over and over again. Right? Somehow these friends got a lot of screen time, just like Taylor. So, but again, Taylor of anybody is giving Brandon more chances, has now said he refuses to be filmed anymore. Okay, but wants to hang out with her off camera where he's really cool and everything is going well and stuff off camera. So all we have to go on is some like night vision style canoodling on the couch, which is just like mind blowing that they're even entertaining it. But they do. She says she wants to give it another chance. We'll just keep going around in the circle that's on my screen. Ken, this is nuts. Like, I don't understand where anybody's coming from. Do you have some flicker flame of hope that Brandon is just this great dude off camera?
Yeah, no, I do not. I'm glad they had that night camera because that was some paranormal activity because just the previous episode, they have this moment from The Shining, which looked like the closet was going to turn into a horror movie where they're battling it out. And now all of a sudden, magically, he's so much better off camera after he has disrespected the entire crew, the cast, and everybody. But magically off camera with these night vision paranormal activity cameras, Brandon is so much better. Ugh. I do not believe it. I think Taylor just really wants that camera time, and she should have hired a publicist to help her with her image through this.
So, Lanisha, how could the cameras change him that much? Like, he's a complete jerk all this time. And all of a sudden, like, if we're just by ourselves on the couch, everything is cool. Let's cuddle. Let's hug.
You know, I'm trying to figure out, maybe because Taylor seems like the type of person that would sneak a camera. I'm trying to see if she was in the house and fly. He won't notice. and just sneak it in there and be like, all right, let me cuddle up on him. I know what he likes. So maybe we got that moment. I'm trying to see if this was actually planned, because Brandon did seem like he was done with production, right. Like over it. But I'm like a Taylor's friends over there sipping with the wines, looking at her like, why are you even entertaining this relationship? You're actually considering saying yes? I don't get it. I don't know why he's coming back. I don't know why neither one of them are coming back to each other. I just don't. Just be done. Be done.
But TK, isn't that like why our opinion of Taylor has dropped over the past few weeks? Because for some reason, she's still entertaining this when she has been through it just like us. She's made the same kind of comments that we have of how bad he's treating her and, you know, telling her to F off and all this other kind of stuff. And it just doesn't make sense that she's so wanting to try to bring it back when they've basically broken up multiple times now.
They have broken up multiple times, and I don't think that the comments about Taylor is not necessarily because she keeps giving him another try. My comments on Taylor are the reason why I don't trust her just as a person is because of her responses when the lights are on in comparison to what we hear when the cameras are not rolling. The things that she does, the people she hangs out with, the places that she goes, the hours of the day that she goes to them. That's not, to me, it's not signals of a woman that needs to be married. So I'm not necessarily believing everything that everyone says, but when those topics come up and the camera is on her, her responses are not necessarily to deny, but it's almost to divert. And right. So I just don't trust her in that sense. But I do want to give a call out to Trish Love Sunflowers. Hi.
Good name.
Because I had a feeling that there is way more of a connection between Brandon and Taylor than we're not seeing. Something doesn't make sense. Let me say, that camera, first of all, I need to know if he knew it was there. Because yes. At the end of the day, I don't think he would have been there if he knew. So either the producers and things are setting him up when they're not supposed to, which means that's a breach of contract and he didn't know that he was being recorded. They are playing the role and all of that. And maybe he did know about it. They're playing it up for TV. Or Taylor really did just sneak the camera and they shouldn't be using the footage for the show. Who knows? But or, I don't know if he's there.
Let me toss in another like tinfoil hat. Is that old footage? Is that from when times were still kind of good?
Footage, yeah.
And we've got some footage of them cuddling on the couch. I just thought of
that's
that.
That's good.
I like
his thigh and that his hand on that, the honey.
Yeah.
Both of them. It looks like they just had some pretty good sex and it's like the cuddle afterwards.
Yeah, not like they've had constant blowups, like couldn't even get along at the manicure place. I liked what you said, and I kind of want to touch on it again for a second. I think you said it much more eloquently than I did. The thing we don't like is her inconsistency. So I don't mind her. She's 27, right? I don't mind her out at the bars till 2 a.m. and stuff like that. If you're a single person and then in the ITMs and the talking to the other people, you're like, I'm single. As far as I'm concerned, I'm single. But she's not talking like that. She's talking like she wants to get back together, give him another shot, right?
It's like she's almost at fault. So it's like, if you're not 100% innocent, you kind of, it's almost like she knows she's just as much in the wrong, but we don't know it because we can't see everything. So right. It's almost like she's trying to give him a little bit of understanding, like, okay, we're both messing up. So let me at least try to give him an opportunity because he might have a little bit more on me than everybody knows.
Yeah. We're going to see. We got to scoot forward because we're running out of time. And of course, we're at the end, which what I said I thought was the most interesting couple this episode, Jessica and Austin. Okay.
Normal. Can I just start to get some reactions from the live chat?
Oh, yeah.
I need to know how people really feel about Austin and if they trust his intentions and his goal at this. So everyone in the live chat, drop whether or not you think Austin will say yes or no on D-Day, and I'll call it out in the middle of the comments.
Perfect. So who did he even meet with? I missed that. Was that his brother or a friend?
Friend, I think.
Okay. Friend. So they bro out. She goes, obviously, and hangs out with her twin. She says to her twin, there's a couple key points for me for this. She says to her twin, I cannot picture life without him. That's like a direct quote. If that's true, who cares if he said I loved you or not? Mm-hmm. That you just said the answer for me right there, personally. Okay. They go to dinner, and then again, just like I said at the top of our show, for the last 5 weeks, maybe you guys correct me if I'm wrong or tell me in the chat, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we've been hearing about him not saying I love you and that he's got to travel for work. I'm so done with this stupid nonsense. I can't take it. It's actually, we find out that his traveling for work is a couple days a week. Like we said last week on the show, she could go with him. It's not a big deal. I wanted to point out tonight, okay, my wife, as we shouted out, we actually shouted out on my Survivor show last week. We could shout them out right now. All the frontline healthcare workers, you all rock. We love all, each and every one of you. I'll do the, is this a TikTok thing? I don't know. I'm too old for that. Heart stuff for all the healthcare workers. My wife is a nurse practitioner, a registered nurse, and now a nurse practitioner. RNs normally work three 12-hour shifts in a row. So guess what? Many times during the week, I didn't see my own wife and we were living together. So him going off, she could easily schedule her schedule for nursing the time he's off. It's not a big deal. I'm getting more and more upset about this because we get no resolution. She's obviously 100% in. I think if she would stop talking about him saying, I love you, he'd probably say it. Okay. And she, more than anybody, is bringing up some problems that just completely don't exist whatsoever. I don't know what else to say. They end to me in bed on a bad note. It felt awkward. It felt uncomfortable. Again, for nonsense. And I was really glad that Austin stepped up for a second and was like, I'm tired. I don't know what he said exactly, but something like, I'm tired of hearing about this. Like, my job again. Like I said, I travel for work. This is not. What are you going to do?
I think 100%.
Yeah, just take it. Sorry, yeah.
I think 100% the clarity that I took from this, because I feel like we're all going to say pretty much the same thing, but the one call out I want to say is that we finally kind of get to the bottom of Austin's feelings. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've kind of felt like he's not necessarily hiding something, but there's something. His eyes just aren't like completely giving me everything. And I think we finally got it last night. The fact that he said there's a little resentment, just a little bit, because he brought up the whole she's a twin thing. We haven't heard him say that this entire time. So yeah. He's kind of saying she's clingy. Like, I need some me time. Me working away, me being away from you is not a big deal. I have to agree with him. Yes. I think a lot of people in the chat was saying Jessica's kind of messing this up. But I think the big call out is we finally get to his resolution. And that is, he said that he's been hurt before when he said, I love you, shortly after he was hurt. So that thing that I felt about Austin, my gut feeling about him, is that we didn't know everything or there's something missing. I think that's a something missing. He hasn't told Jessica that yet. And I feel like if he would be honest to say, look, I told someone I love them who I truly loved and they hurt me. So yeah, I'm taking my time on this and I'm not going to feel threatened or pressured to say it just because you want me to. If he was honest about it, I don't think that.
And at the top of the show, is that what you were?
I didn't catch you on audio.
At the top of the show, when you mentioned that, is that what you were thinking about, Austin?
100%. I was thinking that he was
back?
Holding some. Yep, you're back. You I was just thinking that he was
at the top of the show. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
We got some weird stuff going on. Well, okay, sorry. Let's just toss it over to Lanisha.
Well, with me.
Nothing. Ken.
Yeah, okay. See, I guess the somewhat weird feeling that you were getting with Austin was that, but I feel like he has explained a lot to Jessica, and I feel like he's told her about his love life. He's explained about his traveling. Jessica is just more of a person that needs more detail, but she should have said this. This is something she didn't communicate on her end when she was telling her twin, oh, Austin needs to be better with communication. He did communicate with this with you. Why did you not continually ask him the questions of when he said he travels a lot? Why did you not get into the details of, oh, okay, how long do you travel? That way you're not taken by surprise. And I totally agree with you as far as her continually bringing up the I love you situation, because he says he feels it, like he feels it coming. But, and this is what I love so much about Austin, he respects the word. He's not just going to throw it out there. He wants to be 100, 1000% that's what he's feeling. Because sometimes people will get that tingly feeling and they think that it's love and they'll mistake in it. So I think he wants to be 1000% sure that this is exactly what he's feeling. And when he says it, he wants it to be at the right time on his time, because Jessica is a little dominant. We have been seeing her in the household running some things. And Austin, I'm really glad with this episode that he did stand his ground. You could see his frustration when she told him to turn off the lamp. So, but I'm happy that the producers did it, because it shows that not every couple is perfect. Couples are going to fight. Like, it's part of a relationship. It's part of marriage in general. Like, I have a happy, beautiful parents that are loving, but do they have perfect life? No, they're going to have their little arguments and then they're going to figure it out together. That's what makes the relationship stronger. And that's what Jessica needs to realize.
Yeah, that's right. Each and every couple. Ken, round us off. Finish us up with Jessica and Austin here. What do you think?
Like I said before, she has an extended vacation 3 days a week away from her husband, guaranteed. She should be celebrating and rejoicing that she has that time, which she can spend away from him, or like you said, Mike, she can go travel to go meet him. So be creative. She's not giving it a fair chance. Like, let's try it out. Let's do it the 6-month trial. Let's be fair. She's not even meeting him halfway. And it's been coming up, like you said, for the past 6 episodes. It's work, 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 work. And like, wow, you're really upset because your man has a job.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Go talk to Mika. Yeah. Go talk to Mika if you're so upset about his job.
Yes, exactly.
And she's a nurse. She works just as much. It's just, yeah, you're physically in the city. I think Mike hit it on. Just to round off everybody in the live chat. And we're short on time. Everyone's agreeing that they're happy that Austin stood his ground. So shout out to FB, Rebecca Ferry Coffee, Ryan Turner AM, Rose Manos. Everybody's saying, you know what? I trust Austin. We're good. So
trying to get my resident nurse here to come on camera, but she's being super camera shy. Guys, thank you. I know. TK says come on this show. Yeah. Oh, here comes a nurse, everybody. Big applause for a little nurse practitioner.
We love you and thank you for everything you do.
Yeah, we love you and thank you for everything you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got time to rate these couples.
Virtual streaming. We are. We're going to rate them really quick. Guys, again, thank you so much for everybody in your chat. In the chat, leave us the comments. We love reading it. We love interacting with you guys while we're on quarantine. Okay, we're going to go really quick. We're actually going to include Mindy and Zach based on our preview for next episode, right? So we're going to rate these couples. I want to do this a little bit different. Producer Jonathan isn't here. We don't have our cool graphic. We're going to go really quick. I'm going to go around the circle as I see on my screen. And we're going to rate either yes or no. Okay, and we're going to do it again next week. Do they say yes or no on decision day? Okay, no more numbers. This is yes or no on decision day. Same thing for you guys in the comments. We're going to start out. I'm going to go the way we did it this episode. Ken, Katie, and Derek.
No.
No. Lanisha. No. TK.
No. Nope.
I'm no as well. Let's keep it moving. I think we went next to Mika and Michael. Ken.
No.
No. Lanisha. No. This is not a fair.
I hope not. I hope fair. Not.
We
I
already
don't know,
but we know in real, I guess it's true. Real life, they're annulled, but on the show, we don't know.
They could say yes.
I'm still going to say no, though. Taylor and Brandon, Ken.
No.
Lanisha, are we?
I can see Taylor saying yes and Brandon saying
no. Oh, my God. Please, please, please. Let's do Jessica and Austin. Ken?
Yes.
Yes. Lanisha?
Yes.
TK?
The plot twist. Somebody might say no, but I think they'll say yes.
I think they're going to say yes. This is the big plot twist. Mindy and Zach, real quick, I didn't even think they were going to be back, but we see in the preview that Mindy and Zach are both back on the couch talking during decision day, and we see Mindy actually say, you know, breaking up was a big mistake. Zach says, you came into my life for a reason. Do we just get thrown for a big loop? Ken, are they saying yes or no, Ken?
No, no.
Lanisha?
No.
If Mindy says yes, I will reach there and slap her. No.
You're saying no, TK? You don't think the producers are messing with us? No? Ooh, okay. I want it to happen. I want it to happen, but I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I can't wait for this to be over next week. I'm excited to see where all these couples end up on it till next week. I'm going to go reverse circle. TK, where can our friends find you?
You can find me, Takira Shabray, on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabray.
And shout out some people.
Oh, shout out some people. Lawrence Bullock, Italian Sisters, Glorifying Jesus, Hallelujah, Hassif M, and P. Wendy.
Wow, the shout outs are getting more interactive. Lanisha, where are you at? As if we didn't know.
You guys already know. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lanisha, spelled L-A-N-I-S-H-A, 914.
Ken, I wish you had a song for this one.
You can find me 6 feet away, social distancing, at Kenneth Ware on all social platforms.
Guys, thanks again for tuning in and watching this. We hope everybody is staying nice and safe. We're going to get through. We love each and every one of you. My name is Mike Thieling. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling. Until next week, we love you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.